the Bhagavad Gita. It's a holy book. Okay. So, we're going to read from chapter 11, text number 33 of the Bhagavad Gita. A very powerful instruction that Krishna is giving to Arjuna. And we're also going to talk about how this instruction is also relevant for us in our daily lives as well. Okay. Tasmat tvamutishta yasho labasva jitva shatrun punktva rajyam samriddam maye vite nihata puvameva nirmita matram bhava savyasachin. Please repeat after me. Tasmat. Therefore, Twam, you, Utishta, get up, Yashaha, fame, Labasva, gain, Jitva, conquering, Shatrun, enemies, Bungshva, enjoy. Rajyam, kingdom. Samridam, flourishing. Maya, by me. Eva, certainly. Ete, all these. Nihataha, killed. Purvam, Eva, by previous arrangement. Nimitta matram, just the cause. Bhava, become. Savyasachin, O Savyasachi. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Therefore, this is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. He says, therefore, get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Purport. Savyasachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan, and all manifestations are but accidental formations. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this or maybe like that, but there is no question of perhaps or and maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. Back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality, which makes them try to lord it over material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. The creation and destruction of the cosmic manifestation is under the superior guidance of God. Thus, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord, then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect. Please repeat after me. Therefore, get up. Prepare to fight and win glory. Conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement. And you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Om Agyana Tamirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Twam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So first of all, I want to say thank you, and it is such an honor to be with all of you this afternoon at this very world famous Radha Gopinath community. So I sincerely beg all of you for your blessings and mercy, so that by your empowerment we can speak something that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, to the Guru Parampara, and that can help us on the journey. So every single one of us are on a journey of life. And it's very interesting that as we go through life, we meet various challenges. Has anyone ever experienced that in life? That sometimes you come across challenges? Have you ever experienced that sometimes in life, in order to progress, you sometimes have to struggle? You sometimes have to make great effort and endeavor in order to move forward in life. Can anyone relate to that? Yes or no? Yes. This verse speaks to this. Here we have a scene from the Battle of Kurukshetra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is speaking to his dear most friend, Arjuna. And he's speaking to Arjuna about something very, very powerful. And what he's speaking to Arjuna about is Arjuna's attitude. Attitude for each and every one of us are one of the magical keys to success or failure in life. It is amazing that when we study the lives of so many amazing people, we find that although they went through challenges, they were able to pass over those challenges. Although they went through challenges, they were able to pass over those challenges in such a way that they grew. They become better. They become stronger. They become wiser and deeper individuals through the challenge. But everyone has challenges. And yet at the same time, we see that not everyone becomes better through those challenges. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to share with me an honest answer. Right now, do you know someone, a friend, relative, associate, colleague, Do you know someone in your life who went through some challenge? And even though the challenge happened to them in the past, they are still holding on to some bitterness or some anger or some resentment from that challenge that happened to them in the past. Raise your hand if you know someone like that. Interesting. So many of us will know people like that. So it's very interesting. It's not the challenge. Everyone goes through challenges. But some of us through the challenge become better. And some of us through the challenge become bitter. So these two things. Individual A goes through the challenge, they become better. Individual B goes through the challenge, they become bitter. What makes the difference? The difference is the attitude. The attitude we have in life and the attitude that we have towards life is actually going to determine life itself. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is that every single one of us, our life, our experience is that we are existing in a living classroom. Every single one of us are existing in a living classroom. And that classroom and the lessons and the experiences that that classroom brings to each and every one of us are distinctly shaped by our particular attitude. In this verse, Krishna is giving Arjuna the attitude that will guarantee each and every one of us tremendous success in life. And that attitude, ladies and gentlemen, is the attitude that comes when you depend on someone who loves you more than you love yourself. What is Krishna telling Arjuna in this verse? He says, prepare to fight and win glory. Not just prepare to fight. I want you to fight and I want you to win glory. Let's explore that. Only someone who loves you can say that to you. Someone who doesn't love you, they tell you to fight. They tell you to fight against someone who's going to destroy you. And they sit there watching while you're being destroyed. Someone who loves you, they arrange a situation for you. And they ask you, I want you to do this for me. Because I know that if you do this, you will become better. You will become glorious. Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight. Not only is he saying to Arjuna, I want you to fight and be glorious, but he's also saying something very important to Arjuna. He says, the people I want you to fight against, they are already what? Dead. That means I have made this arrangement for you. How many of you in this room have a good relationship with your parents? Yeah? Most of us. Good. Now think about this. When your parents make a really nice arrangement for you. For some of you, it may be your parents arranged nicely for your education. For someone else, your parents helped you arrange nicely for your marriage. For someone else, your parents helped you arrange nicely for your career. Whatever it is. When I was younger, even before I got married, my parents helped to arrange so that when I get married, there's somewhere to live. Right? So, and I remember my mother telling me, she said, this is culture. Culture means that the next generation have an easier time than the previous generation. You can relate to that. Yeah? So when someone loves you, they make an arrangement for your well-being. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to suggest something very, very powerful to you about the lives that we live. And I really want you to tune into this. None of this is scripted. I want to have a genuine conversation with you heart to heart. Is that okay? Yeah? I want to have a genuine conversation to you heart to heart. So we've, over the last 20 years or so, we've been practicing Krishna consciousness. I remember coming here many times, visiting and experiencing the wonderful devotional atmosphere. And I notice something whenever I come to different places in the world. I see two classes of people. I see one class of people, when I see them, they are looking energized. They are looking excited. They are looking enthusiastic about life. And wherever I go in the world, I see another class of people. And they look worn down. They look exhausted. They look tired. They look bitter. And I was often wondering, why? Why these two different classes of people wherever you go in the world? Even wherever you go in spiritual community. And I realized that there was a key thing. And that there were two types of attitude. There was one class of people, especially even religious or spiritual, there were one class of people, and when I started to explore and interview those people who had that positive, enthusiastic and energized mentality and mood, when I would ask them, Prabhu, Mataji, how you are so energized and happy? And they would talk to me, and they would speak about their life, and they would speak about their attitude. And when I heard them, I would listen carefully. And when I heard them, I could understand that the reason why they were happy is because they had a sense of dependence upon a loving supreme. Then I would speak to the other group. Prabhu, Mataji, why is it you look so worn down, so unhappy, so tired? And as I would speak to them, I would understand that the second group, they had the attitude of trying to struggle for themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to put it to you that the secret of happiness in life, the secret of happiness in life is dependence upon the loving person. Just like when you're young, you notice that sometimes when the children will run around, you notice their attitude is so carefree, isn't it? And you look back and you think back to your own childhood, and when you were young, you were carefree. No worries, no responsibilities, because you're dependent upon a loving superior. Then what happens is when we grow up, we forget about that dependence. And we think that we are the superior. And therefore, I have to make every single arrangement for myself. And this insecurity, I have to control everything. Because if I don't control everything, then life will not go well. And I will not be happy. I have to control. And it goes to the point that they try to control each other, isn't it? You see that whether in your job, whether in your school, someone wants to control you. You ever had that experience? Yeah, we say this in all around the world. Someone is trying to lord it over you. Yeah. We can all relate to this. So ladies and gentlemen, what we want to present to you in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita is a secret. These secrets are over 5,000 years old, but no one really understands the depth of what Krishna is saying. Krishna wants to make us young again. This is a promise. Radha Gopinath, your Radha Gopinath, your deities, they want to make you young again. That mood of youthfulness, that mood of being carefree, that mood that is exclusively experienced when you know that you are dependent upon a loving superior. Ladies and gentlemen, Krishna consciousness is the supreme science of growing young. We have, all of us in this world, we have grown so old. We have become so old due to life giving us different challenges and due to us becoming so insecure that we feel if I don't control everything, no one is going to help me. But the pages of the Bhagavad Gita give us a different story. The pages of the Bhagavad Gita are the story of a great warrior who accepts the dependence of a loving superior. So to the extent that each and every one of us, that we accept the dependence upon a loving superior, you will grow young. You will once again develop this youthful vigor that comes when you know it is okay. Everything is ultimately under the control of someone who intimately loves me. We explained earlier in this class that this world is a living classroom. I want to tell you what I mean by that. Scientists have found, and it's happening all over the world in quantum physics and so on, they're finding now in science that everything, all energy, is interconnected, interrelated. Have you ever seen, and again, we're speaking friend to friend now. I have no script. I want to know what your honest feelings are. Have you ever in your own life, or in the life of another person, seen that they did something wrong? And no one said anything at the time. But a bit later on down the line, they got a reaction for that behavior. Have you ever seen that happen? Yes. You know, there's this saying, what goes around? Exactly. That means that we know that everything is connected. The truth of the matter is, I come here and I sit in the room and all of you are in Indian bodies and I can swear to you, I see us as all one of the same family. How is that possible? Because what I do to you is the same thing that I do to myself. You understand? Yeah? So we are part of an international community. We are part of a global humanity. And we are part of a spiritual family. We are all ultimately part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah? So, I am my brother and sister's keeper, as the saying goes. This world is a living classroom. Whatever you do in one area of the classroom, you get some reciprocation in another area of the classroom. This is such a fantastic opportunity. Because it means that the more I try to be kind and caring and selfless and serving to all of you in the way that would please their lordships, the more that same positive kindness, caring, service will come back. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the love you give pursues you. The love you give to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotion with which you serve Krishna's parts and parcels in the way that will please Him, that love is coming back to you. It will find its way back to you. It will make you stronger, deeper, wiser, and more incredibly happy, joyful and successful individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, at every moment we have an opportunity to grow in ways that would absolutely take your breath away. We are sitting here together conversing at the beginning of 2018. Does anyone ever find that the years go quickly? Yeah. What we are now and what we will be in the future, that is down to us. But there is an opportunity at every moment to become deeper individuals, more successful individuals. And how is that opportunity realized? I tell you that it's realized by this loving devotional service. The love you give pursues you. You know that someone is loved because when someone is loved, if they're loving, and they love others, and they give love, the love comes back to them. When that love comes back to them, they become a stronger individual. When the love comes back to them, they grow. They grow in amazing ways. And that is what all of us are meant to do. What is the greatest way that you express love for the Supreme Person? You express love by calling his name with love. So in the Vaishnava tradition, there is such an emphasis on the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. These holy names of the Lord are the way that the living entity serenades the Supreme Person. Just like in a love affair, you serenade, you sing to the person that you love. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the means by which we will serenade the Supreme. The love that you give pursues you. That loving devotion that you serve with comes back to you. It seeks you out. And every time it finds you, it makes you a stronger, deeper, more successful individual. And success is very, very significant. Success means that you are able to experience a deep quality of life. There's a story of a guru who wanted to see which of his disciples was the most intelligent. So one day he invited his disciples to come and take darshan. Two disciples. And he gave them each an equal amount of rupees. And he said, what I want you to do is come with me. They came with him. He went to a building and he brought them and he showed them two rooms. Each room was of the same size. And so he said to them, I've given you some money. I want you to spend the money in such a way that you fill your room. Each of them had one room. And he told them, I want you to spend the money I've given you, the rupees I've given you, and I want you to use the money in such a way that you fill your room as much as possible. And both of these disciples were confused. They were perplexed because they didn't get much money. The guru didn't give them many rupees. And they were thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to fill this room? This room with very few rupees. What can I buy with these rupees to fill the room? So one disciple went to the marketplace. He looked around and he looked for the cheapest rags. So he could buy as many rags as possible to fill the room. Okay? The other disciple went to the same marketplace. The second disciple was very sharp, very intelligent. He looked around, he considered very carefully, and then he bought some other items in order to fill the room. So then the spiritual master came to see what the disciples had done. When he came to the first disciple, he saw the room, there were a few rags on the floor. Most of the room was not filled. Most of the room was vacant. A few rags on the floor, the disciple thought, I've done the best I can. The guru looked at the room, looked at the disciple, looked at the room again and said nothing. Then he was just about to go into the second room to see what the second disciple had done. Before he went into the second room, the disciple stopped him and said, Guru Maharaj, before you go into the room, I have something for you. So the guru looked a bit surprised. What do you have for me? The disciple took out of his pocket some of the rupees that his guru had given him. He said, before you go into the room, Guru Maharaj, I want to give you back some change. I did what you asked me, and there was also some change, so I just want to give you the change back. So the guru was shocked. So this disciple is claiming that he's done the task, he's filled the room. I only gave him a few rupees. I know that this previous disciple, the room was only a few rags and everything else was empty. This disciple is telling me that he's done the task and he's giving me back some change. How has he done this? The disciple said, before you go into the room, Guru Maharaj, along with the change, I just want you to know that I filled the room twice. I filled the room twice. Now the spiritual master was really surprised. How is this possible? How, with the money I gave you, you're claiming that you filled the room twice over? Okay. The guru said nothing. He went into the room. In the room, he saw two things. He saw some incense was burning. And the room was filled with the fragrance of the incense. The second thing he saw in the room was one lamp with one flame. The lamp was lit. So the room was filled with the light from the lamp. So he realized that this disciple is very, very intelligent. He has filled the room twice over and had change to give back. Ladies and gentlemen, the fragrance that filled the room represents the fragrance of bhakti. When your life, when your heart is filled with love, with devotion for Krishna, and that love and devotion is also reflected in how you serve and interact with the devotees, with humanity, that is, you feel very full. The second, the lamp, the light of the lamp represents enlightenment. Tesham satata yuktam nam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenam amupayanti te. Krishna has already explained that for those who serve with devotion, I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. So that light is the light of enlightenment. When we engage in hearing the Bhagavad Gita, when we engage in chanting the names of Krishna, your life becomes enlightened. All of these things together, they really shape our attitude. And the attitude we have really helps us to understand how we are going to experience life. Are we going to become bitter? Or, ladies and gentlemen, are we going to become better? The choice is there for each and every one of us. And that choice is going to make a huge difference to our entire experience. As we said, it will determine whether we grow older or grow younger. Another key thing related to the Pandavas is that because the Pandavas had the right attitude, they were able to keep their life, their heart, and their mind very simple. When you know what life is about, then instead of becoming disturbed by so many things, you're able to remain focused. In fact, studies have found, when they studied people who are successful in life, they found that one of the key habits of successful people is the ability to remain focused. In the Mahabharata, they talk about this. So, Dronacharya wanted to understand which of his students was the most qualified. So he put the model of a bird on the branch, on the tree. And he wanted each of the Pandavas to shoot the eye of the bird. So he brought the first Pandava, he brought him up. So I want you to shoot the eye of the bird. Okay, so what do you see? So one Pandava said, I can see the tree, I can see the branch. Dronacharya said, stop. Sit down, you're not qualified to shoot. He called another Pandava, what do you see? Do you see the tree? I don't see the tree. I can see the branch. Sit down. You're not qualified to shoot. One by one, Dronacharya would call the different Pandavas up. And the fact that they could see so many things, he said to them, you're not qualified to shoot. But then Arjuna came. He said to Arjuna, do you see the tree? Arjuna said, no, I do not see the tree. Do you see the branch of the tree? No. I can't even see the branch of the tree. He asked him, Arjuna, do you see the body of the bird? Arjuna said, no, I do not see the body of the bird. He asked Arjuna, Arjuna, what can you see? Arjuna said to him, all that I can see is the eye of the bird. That is all that I can see. The eye of the bird. And Dronacharya said to him, said, Arjuna, you are qualified to shoot. Each and every one of us, we are like Arjuna in the sense that each and every one of us have our own battle of Kurukshetra. Each and every one of us have our own challenges in life. But our attitude is going to determine how we move through these challenges. Our attitude is actually the thing that's determining the nature of the challenges that we are even facing in life itself. It is so extremely powerful. So in this example, we understand what? We understand that where there is devotion, there is also focus. When we understand what is the purpose of life, if I think the purpose of life is to do many, many different things, and I think that they're all equal, how am I going to have focus? You know, it's about this, it's about this, it's about this, it's about this, it's about this. How can I be focused? This is when the intelligence is many branched. When we become like Arjuna, when we understand that the single purpose of life, Prema Pumata Mahan, is to attain love for Krishna, then our intelligence changes. What is that intelligence? Vyavyasatmika Buddhiya Ekiha Kurunandana. Our intelligence becomes one-pointed. A few years ago, I was speaking to my brother-in-law. His name's John. I was on the phone to him. I said, John, how are you? He said, I'm okay. He said, there's only one thing. I said, boy, I've got a bit of a sore throat, right? When he said that to me, I thought, oh, he's got a cold. Yeah? I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. A bit of a sore throat. I understand. It's difficult. 2 weeks later, I spoke to him again, and I found out more information about his cold, about his sore throat. It wasn't a cold. It was cancer. He was a 26-year-old man. He was diagnosed with lymphoma cancer. The sore throat was a tumor that was growing in his throat. So they did chemotherapy, and it seemed that the cancer had gone. So then I was in Delhi. This was a few months later. And we received a phone call. So the cancer, we thought, had gone. Chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is very difficult for the body. Very difficult for the body. He lost all his hair. He lost a lot of weight. But the cancer had gone, so we thought everything was okay. So I was in Delhi. And we got a phone call. And it was my brother-in-law, John. So when you get cancer, when it goes, they still have to do regular checks to make sure that they call it remission, to make sure there's no remission, to make sure it doesn't come back. So I spoke to him on the phone. We have some news, some bad news. What's the bad news? They found that the cancer hadn't actually gone. The chemotherapy that they thought had got rid of the cancer, it hadn't actually got rid of the cancer. The cancer was still there, so it was coming back more. It was still there, it was still growing. So, now it was even worse. Chemotherapy hadn't worked, what could they do next? So my wife, she has a compatible blood type. So when the chemotherapy doesn't work, they do what we call stem cell surgery. So then you have to go into hospital, and they'd have some procedure to generate some more white blood cells in the bone marrow, I think it is. And then they harvest those white blood cells in order to help to fight the cancer. So my wife went into hospital, they did this operation, and they got the white blood cells and they used it, and luckily the cancer went. But when I look back on this, I can understand something very, very important. And that is, our time, ladies and gentlemen, is very precious. The mistake that I often make in my life is I live as if I've got all the time in the world. So I'm thinking, oh, 2018, 2019, 2020. But just as Krishna said to Arjuna here, that these people are already put to death by his arrangement. The truth of the matter is, we also have an appointment with death. Isn't it? Each and every one of us, we also have an appointment with death. We don't know how much time that we have together. But this doesn't have to make us feel down, and this doesn't have to make us feel negative. This can be incredibly motivating. If I think for a moment, how can I utilize the time I have? How can I use the life I have in a way that's going to be the most glorious? Sometimes it's easy to think, the way the modern world is, sometimes it's easy to think that yes, Bhagavad Gita is nice, yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is nice, but it's just a nice idea, it's a nice story. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, these things are very, very real. When you hear Krishna speaking to Arjuna, this is real. They did a study. To this day, they found studies that there's radiation in Kurukshetra, which relates to the kind of weapons that were used at the Battle of Kurukshetra. It's real. We had, there was one devotee who was doing book distribution in America, trying to give out Prabhupada's books, American body devotee. I think he was in Chicago, O'Hare Airport. And there was an American businessman. And he was in a rush. So he was rushing through the airport. The devotee was trying to stop him. Please take a book. No, I'm busy. Leave me alone. Please take, I'm busy. Just leave me alone. Okay, if you haven't got time, even if you just give a donation. And the man just said, look, here, take the donation. Leave me alone. A few days later, that American businessman was walking through the airport again, and this time he walked to the devotee. This is a real story. He approached that same devotee. That devotee's name was Purnachandra Maharaj. He passed away a few years ago. But this is a real situation. He told this pastime. Yeah, he experienced it directly. A few days later, that American businessman came up to Maharaj, and he looked really shaken. That American businessman looked really like shocked, and like something had happened. And he explained to Purnachandra Maharaj what happened after the first time he met him. He said, after I met you a few days later, I had a near-death experience. He said, I was dying. And he said, the really scary thing was I saw these really scary individuals, and they were trying to pull me out of my body. He said, I was terrified, and I was scared, and I was shocked, and I was fearful. He said, there were a few of them, and they were trying to pull me out of my body to take me away with them. He said, but after some time, they stopped trying to pull me out of my body, and then they left me alone. And he said, when they stopped, I could immediately intuitively, in my heart, I could immediately understand that the only reason why they didn't get me, the only reason why they were not able to pull me out of my body, is because I had done something. This Indian gentleman explained to Purna Chandra Maharaj, who explained this in a class. He said, I could understand, intuitively, I could understand that the only reason why they didn't get me was because I had done something for you. So then what happened afterwards? Purna Chandra Maharaj was carrying the Srimad Bhagavatam with him. Fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. He took the book out and he opened the book and he showed the American businessman a picture of the Yamadutas. And he said to him, he said, were these the people that you saw? And the businessman said, yes, those were the creatures. They were the people I saw. They were the ones who were trying to pull me out of my body. So just in case anyone thinks that this is an idea, this is a story, these things are not stories. These things are not stories. What you actually have in this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnava teachings, you have the teachings which are the eternal understanding of reality. Anyone who comes across these teachings are extremely, extremely special and extremely blessed. It means that after many lifetimes, Bahunam Jamanamante Gyanavam Mamprapadite Vasudeva Savmiti Sa Mahatma Sudrala Baha. Because it's only after many lifetimes of cultivating knowledge that you come to this understanding, Vasudeva Savmiti, that Krishna is everything. Sir Mahatma Sudrala Baha. Such a great soul who understands this. They are extremely rare individuals. You understand? So all of you in this room, you are extremely special individuals. But even more special is being able to take advantage of it. You are extremely special individuals. But the most special thing is to take advantage of this teaching. To engage your time, chant the holy names of Krishna, and hear Bhagavad Gita in association. And that will do what? That will change the entire course of our lives. Because we don't know how much time we have left. Unfortunately, in the world now, many people are just following what everyone else is doing. Have you ever noticed that? That if they just follow the trends. So if the world is becoming more materialistic, they will become more materialistic. Right? In London, their idea of India is Bollywood. Okay? So that's it. So it's Bollywood and curry. That's it. Right? They have this very, very narrow idea. Because they don't understand the deeper teachings of the East. When our founder Srila Prabhupada came to London, when he came to the UK, they asked him, why have you come? He told them, he said, you British, when you came to India, you stole everything. Right? He said, but you forgot the most valuable thing, so I came with the Bhagavad Gita to give you that also. Seriously, he said, that's what he said. You came and stole everything, but you forgot the most valuable thing. So I've come here to give you that also. And that most valuable teaching is this teaching of Krishna consciousness. Again, because we're speaking heart to heart, I will just say honestly, we beg you, do not turn your back on these eternal teachings. Do not turn your back on the jewel of your own culture. The jewels of your own spiritual culture. We do not want to be simply following the crowd. There was someone, there were two men, Indian men speaking. And they were friends, and one of them said to his friend, he said, you're now in your 20s, I'm surprised that you're not married yet, or you're not looking for a partner. And he said, no, I tried to find someone, to marry and, move forward in life. And, he said, yeah, so then what happened? He said, I brought her home to meet the family because, it's very important that they get along. I said, yes. And so what happened when you brought the girl home to meet the family? He said, my mom didn't like her. My mom said no. My mom disapproved. And so his friend said, so just because your mom didn't like her, you didn't try to find someone else? And he said, no, I tried again. I went to find another nice young lady, to have a relationship, and I brought her home to meet the family. And his friend said, so what happened? He said, again, my mom said no. She didn't approve. So his friend said, you know what you need to do? You need to find a woman who's just like your mom and bring her home to meet the family. Okay? He said, no, I tried that. I tried that. He said, I found a woman who was just like my mom, and I brought her home to meet the family. And his friend said, so what happened? He said, my dad said no. So there is this idea that you just follow the crowd. You just do what everyone wants you to do. But you won't be happy that way. In a world that becomes increasingly materialistic, if you just follow the crowd, you won't be happy. And that is one of the greatest, most heartbreaking things about the world. You travel this world, you will see so many people who sometimes even seem to have so much, but in their hearts they feel so empty. My spiritual master would often say, he would quote the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization says that over the coming decades, the biggest cause of illness, disease, death, will be mental illness. Mental illness meaning people feeling more depressed, more suicidal, people who can't sleep because when they go to sleep, their mind is just attacking them constantly. So they have so much externally, but they don't have peace of mind. Is that life? Or is that hell? So think about this. We have an opportunity at every moment to live life in a different way. And I don't want to pretend. I'm not saying that it's always easy. Let's be very honest about it. Sometimes there will be challenges. But remember, when you go through challenges in life, remember that you're dependent upon a loving supreme. That means that the challenge that's come in your life is something that you can succeed in. Just like Arjuna. Krishna tells him, those people in the other army, they're dead already. But I want you to be the instrument. In a similar way, if you give yourself, if you engage in devotional service, if there are challenges, then it is nothing that you cannot succeed in. Because it has been given by a loving supreme, a loving superior. Remember that. And with that correct attitude, as we approach life with the correct attitude, instead of becoming bitter by the challenges, we'll become much, much better because of our attitude towards those very same challenges. Our challenges are meant, ladies and gentlemen, to make us stronger and more successful individuals. I'll share one last story, then we'll open up for questions. So the scientists were very interested in how the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. and they wanted to observe this entire process of transformation. So at one point, the caterpillar creates a cocoon around itself. And after a while, then the caterpillar has gone through some transformation in the cocoon, and then it fights its way out of the cocoon. So the scientists were watching this process of transformation. And as they were watching the process, they saw that the butterfly in the cocoon was struggling to get out of the cocoon. Struggling tremendously to get out of the cocoon. So at one point, they decided we need to help the butterfly. So they cut open some of the cocoon so to make it easy for the butterfly to escape so it can move on. So then the butterfly got out of the cocoon. And when the butterfly got out of the cocoon, the butterfly stretched its wings. And once it stretched its wings, the butterfly flapped its wings to prepare to fly. And it flapped its wings to prepare to fly. And it flapped its wings to prepare to fly. But it could not fly. The butterfly could not fly. And the scientists were amazed and shocked and surprised. And they couldn't understand, why is it that this butterfly can't fly? And they started to re-examine the entire process and what happened to the caterpillar, the cocoon. And then they realized, oh my God, they worked out what had happened. It was their interference. They had cut some of the cocoon open for the butterfly to get out. In doing that, they had taken away some struggle that the butterfly needed to build the strength in its wings so that when it comes out of the cocoon, it could fly. Krishna never makes that mistake. So when we go through different challenges and tests, it is to give us the strength, the depth, the wisdom in order to move forward in our spiritual journey, our spiritual evolution, so that we can go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. So if we engage in this process of Krishna consciousness, with love, to call the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not just call the name, but call the name in a surrendered mood. You are surrendering to a loving superior. If you remember that, and if you live with that understanding, your life is about to change in all kinds of extraordinary and amazing ways that you can't imagine. Because when you let Krishna arrange things for you, He is going to arrange things in such a way that it's going to be far superior. Far superior than anything that you have seen before and anything that you can arrange for yourself. So the wait, so 2018 is the opportunity to allow Krishna to take control. It doesn't mean that you don't do your job. It doesn't mean that you don't do your duty. But it means that you do it in a spirit of devotion, knowing that ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is in charge. And if I move with His plan, everything will ultimately be most successful, not just for me, not just for you, but it will be ultimately the most successful for everyone. In fact, it will be the most successful arrangement for the entire humanity. Okay. Let's stop there and have questions. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, the mic, if you could pass the mic to the back.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for giving a deep insight. My question is, as you said that we need to have a right attitude and work endeavor. But many times in our life, we find that no matter how hard we try, we cannot achieve that goal. Mm. I will give an example. For an example, suppose I wanted to run like an Usain Bolt. No matter how hard I try, I will never achieve that speed, yes. And I know it. There are many entrepreneurs I know, but they cannot be like Steve Jobs or Dhirubhai Ambani or Elon Musk. So being a devotee, we work in the corporate life. But still, we wanted to climb in that ladder also. Meanwhile, we want to keep our sadhana. So how to know that barrier, that line, that this is my effort and this is my limitation? How to know that?
Thank you for a very intelligent and insightful question. So we've been doing a lot of work with the youth, not just in London, but across the world. And for a living, I work for an investment bank. And so my role in the bank is that we train the leaders and managers in the bank. And we often speak about this in terms of self-awareness. Yeah? So for the devotees, there are two types of self-awareness. First and most important is to understand that I am a spirit soul. I'm a servant of Krishna. Jivera Srupoya Krishnera Nitya Das. That is the first level of self-awareness. And on that basis, we do our chanting, our hearing in devotion. The second level of self-awareness is to understand the kind of nature I have. And so with the second level, if I know my strengths and weaknesses, I will act accordingly. Yeah? If I know that I'm very good, for example, with the youth, one of the things that we find is that if a young person knows what they're very good at and they study that subject at university, for example, and they work in that field, they're going to be able to do very well. If they don't know what they're good at and they just try to be good at anything and everything, it doesn't work. What does Krishna tell Arjuna? He tells Arjuna, Arjuna doesn't want to fight. Arjuna wants to go to the forest and act like which Varna? He wants to act like who? He wants to act like a Brahmana, first of all. I don't want to fight, I'll renounce it. And Krishna tells him, you've got this nature. You're not going to be able to just go to the forest. You are a Kshatriya. Therefore, better you engage your nature in service. Yeah? So in a similar way, when we understand our strengths and weaknesses, and that can come through good association, and it can come through introspection, then we have a clear idea of where we can go, and what things we should give more attention to externally, and what things we should give less attention to. If I know that I was never any good at sports, it may not be the area that I should give the most attention. I may have a talent in a different area. Yeah? Because all these talents are equal, ultimately the most important thing is that we develop our devotion to Krishna. That's the most important thing. The other thing to bear in mind is, the reason why we are so interested in trying to get something material is actually because we're not satisfied or we don't have that spiritual ecstasy. Someone who's experienced more spiritual ecstasy, they can still do their duty materially, but they're no longer dependent upon the results. So the greatest thing is that you do both, because we are in this world, we have to take care of our worldly duties. Okay. But they're not both equally important. The spiritual is the most important, and we do the material in such a way that it supports the spiritual. Does that make some sense? Thank you very much for your question. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other question or comments? No? Okay. So if there are no other questions.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, this question? Okay.
Prabhuji, you spoke about the struggle which helps us in founding our basic strength to go forward.
Yes.
There is another situation also where some certain fortunate living beings who are built with the necessary foundational strength and don't need to go through the struggles. But at the same time, those people are not able to drag some others also along on the spiritual path. What is that situation? I mean, what is the solution which can help those people?
Can you repeat the question?
In the lecture, you spoke about the struggle, which
yes.
helps us, which helps a living entity to build some foundational strength to fly or to move forward on its own ability in the future.
Yes.
But there are some living entities who are born with self-enthusiasm, energy, due to the previous lifetimes, the Sukrutis and everything. But those people are not able to drag some other living entities also on the spiritual path. So, what is that thing which is lacking in them?
Sure. So, Krishna gives free will. So even if someone has some credit from a previous life, it's still the question of what do you do with that credit? Yeah? Someone has some strength, what do you do with that strength? The free will is always there to use things in a positive or negative. Prabhupada gives a story of this. Rajaputra Chiranjeev Muniputra Majiv. So there's a story of the sage who's going through the village. And the sage meets different people and he gives each person a blessing or a statement. The sage meets a butcher. And he tells the butcher, you shouldn't live and you shouldn't die. Yeah? The sage meets the prince. And he says, you should live as long as you can. The sage meets the brahmachari. He says, you can die. And the sage meets the pure devotee of Krishna. And he says, you can live or die, it makes no difference. So then he goes on to explain why he says different things to different people. He says to the butcher, you shouldn't live and you shouldn't die. Because in your living state, in your life right now, you're killing so many innocent creatures. So your life itself right now is hellish. So you shouldn't live. But because you've been so sinful, when you die, you're going to go to hell. So you shouldn't die either. Don't live, don't die. The sage says to the prince, you should live as long as possible. Why? You're a prince because of your previous good behavior. Your previous good behavior means you've got Sukriti. You've got some pious credits. Therefore, in this life, you're born a prince. However, as a prince, you're using all your pious credits to engage in sinful activity. So you should live as long as possible because when you die, you're going to get a reaction for your sinful behavior. So you should live as long as you can. The sage tells the brahmachari, you should die. Because now as a brahmachari, you're engaging in so many sacrifices and austerities now. So when you die, you're definitely going to go to a higher place. So you can die. You're going to get the results of all your sacrifices, austerities. You should die. And then the sage tells the pure devotee, you can live or you can die. It makes no difference. And he explains, because right now, even on this planet, you're completely absorbed in service to their lordships. So you're completely absorbed in transcendence right now. And when you die, you'll simply go back to the spiritual world and engage in even more service to Krishna. So you can live or you can die, makes no difference. So this answers your point. We may have Sukriti, we may have credits, but even that question is still, what do you do with it? Yeah? What do you do with those particular credits? And that is why some people, even though they have some good situation from a previous life, they misuse it. And then you have other people, they have a difficult situation because of something they did in the previous life, but they become very sincere, very deep, very serious, and they make tremendous spiritual advancement. So to coin a phrase, it's not what you have, it's what you do with it that counts. Does that answer your question? Thank you for your question. Hare Krishna. Any other question or comment? Yes, on this side. Could you pass the microphone, please?
Hare Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the enlightenment.
Thank you.
I have a question, and it's regarding, as you have discussed, that we really need to be focused in terms of getting into Krishna consciousness or in case of anything we do in our lives. So to be specific about getting into Krishna consciousness or to become a devotee, I would like to understand, even though no matter how much ever we try to remain focused, there will be hurdles coming in between. And there will be times when we'll be completely bewildered about the thought of being into a Krishna consciousness and being a devotee due to the experience, everyday life experience. So if you can just give us a thought about how we can deal with the idea or the bewilderness we have every day in our lives.
Thank you. I feel it's Krishna's arrangement that you've asked that question. When I was traveling to here, I landed this morning. When I was traveling, over the last few days, something that's been in my mind constantly is a statement by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And he talks about being confident of success. And I've always been thinking about people and confidence and how you develop real confidence. And what the difference is, because I'm doing a seminar on that when I come back to London next month. And this statement, confidence of success, be confident of success, I had a realization I wanted to share which relates to this. When we go through challenges, sometimes it's tempting to give up. It's tempting to think, oh, you know, this Krishna consciousness is too difficult. I'm trying. These challenges are coming. But there's a few things. I was speaking to one of my mentees just when I was in the airport before I flew here. And he was dealing with a certain challenge. And I told him, I said, it's just like if you're running a race. So many of you may have experienced you are running some race. And it may be a difficult race. Sometimes you may get tired. You may get bewildered. You may think this is so difficult. But when you look at the finish line, you see someone standing there. And the person is standing there. And the person is just waiting for you to cross the finish line. When Prabhupada says be confident of success, he means that in our attempt to be devotees, you are actually, and please think carefully about this, this is really important. In your endeavor to be a devotee, you are actually guaranteed to be successful. Your success, every single person, every single one of you in this room, every single one of you in this room, in your endeavor to be Krishna conscious, you are 100% guaranteed to be successful on one condition. The one condition is that no matter what the challenge is, that you don't give up. Krishna is standing at the finish line. I repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing at the finish line and He's waiting for one person. Who do you think He's waiting for? He's waiting for you. And He doesn't go anywhere. He stands there. Even if you fall down, if you get tired, right? He doesn't go. He stays there and He lets you know, I'm not going anywhere. We are waiting for you. I'm only waiting for you. When you cross the finish line, I will applaud you. You were successful. Materially, when you try to do something, you may or may not be successful. But when you try to become Krishna conscious, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself is waiting at the finish line, waiting for you. Therefore, when Prabhupada says you should be confident of success, he means always remember that as long as you don't give up, you are guaranteed to cross that finish line, and the Lord is guaranteed to welcome you. When you return to the spiritual world, He will personally welcome you. Now, if we remember that, then you can become very, very determined. Yeah? Because then you always realize, yes, some days may be easier than others, but you know what? It doesn't actually matter, because guess what? Guess who's waiting for me at the finish line? Right? Not just waiting for you, He's going to help you to cross the finish line. Because this one thing that Krishna is waiting at the finish line, His devotees don't wait at the finish line. They cross the finish line and help you to run together with them to the finish line. So that brings us to the second answer to your question, good association. In good association, we can talk about our challenges, and in good association, we can gain the encouragement and the inspiration and the motivation to keep running. Because when we speak our mind, Priti Lakshanam, the six loving exchanges, when we reveal our mind, when we reveal our mind to devotees, they will then lovingly remind us, I know it's difficult. I understand. I can empathize. I also have challenges. But let's not forget that Krishna is waiting at the finish line. So as long as we keep going, as long as we don't stop running, each and every single one of us in this room are guaranteed complete success. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much for your question. Thank you. Any last question or comment? Okay. So we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jani Tagore Pranandi Hari Bol. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. So we would like to thank His Grace Bhuta Bhavan Prabhu for coming to Shri Radha Gopinath Temple and sharing such wonderful life lessons from the